Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way in 20 minutes, we are stunned to announce in 40 minutes. What the hell has happened to Oklahoma? Ooh, boy. Plenty on the NFL's week number four. Got to talk about that Packers and Patriots game yesterday. Also last night, the Chiefs putting up 41 points in a victory in Tampa Bay. But I just want to wrap up my thoughts on the Paul Christ firing at Wisconsin because I think there's a bigger picture at play here. On the one hand, the short story is that while Paul Christ has won a lot of football games, he's won a lot of Big Ten football games, he's gone to multiple Big Ten championship games, and by and large, everybody would consider Paul Christ's tenure as head coach of the Badgers to be successful, and he is of Madison, Wisconsin. Born there, grew up a few blocks from Camp Randall, longtime assistant coach there. All of that fits. The short stock is they saw the program descending and pulled the trigger early this year. The bigger picture here is the early firing, because they were unwilling to even let a Wisconsin lifer finish the year. And that, to me, is both the harsh reality of college football, but also the great misfortune of college football. These guys, even though they've got NIL deals, are still college students, and most of them will not earn a cent for their football playing abilities after they leave campus. And you have now just short-circuited a season in the middle of the year without any hope of kind of stabilizing, pulling together, letting an experienced coach kind of figure his way out of it, or guys that were recruited to play for this head coach to play through it as well. Everything gets disrupted, and I think that sucks, because it still is supposed to be the college institution. And we've now just short-circuited. There's been five Power Five coaches fired in the first month of the season. That part of the reality sucks. Because there used to be a time where the writing was on the wall, but you let Paul Christ coach his way out of it or see if he can, and then you make your decision after the season, and then you move on. But two realities are in play. Number one, the early recruiting session in December. And so you don't want to have lame duck head coach around on Thanksgiving weekend when you've got to get names on the dotted line in December. So that's stupid, but it's the reality. But number two, it is now a race for coaching candidates. Jim Leonard's going to take over. Leonard is a Wisconsin guy, and they know that Leonard will be looked at in the offseason. by one of the other schools that have fired their coach. I mean, look, there's, you are now fighting already with the Nebraskas, the Arizona States, the Colorados. They're all firing their coach already also. Brian Harsin's going to be gone. We know that. So you'll be in the mix with Auburn. So you want to get Jim Leonard on your sideline already to perhaps woo him to stay or to see if he's the guy. That's the first thing. The second thing is Lance Leipold, who is going to be everybody's belle of the ball because he's somehow miraculously taken Kansas to 5-0 and ranked, is a Wisconsin Whitewater guy. You know, he turned Wisconsin Whitewater into a dynasty. So you're already going, we got to get ahead of the train here. If we're going to get Leipold, we got to know we're going to make the pitch for him like now. And money is so stupid in college football that they can just pay out all of these guys without actually coaching the year. $7 million, who cares? $15 million, who cares? $20 million, who cares? Just pay them to go away so that we can get the jump. The money in college football is so insane that ADs are like, bad month, get them out. We got to start the train moving now to get the next guy. And that larger picture of college football is dysfunctional. That's a really, really dysfunctional part of this. I mean, could you imagine if five NFL coaches were fired next week, by next week? But that's what's happening in college football. That's what's happening. It's insane the speed at which this stuff is going down. But this is the situation. The money has become completely dysfunctional, and so now everybody is chasing. Nebraska, Georgia Tech, Arizona State, Colorado, and now a guy that's been to three Big Ten championship games at Wisconsin had a bad month, get him out. It's crazy. I want to talk about that Ravens and Bills game. You know, first half of this game, it really feels like there's something wrong with the Bills. The Bills went through all of last week playing a sloppy game against the Dolphins, ultimately lose that game, probably outplayed the Dolphins a little bit, but lose that game. Now they're down 20-3 in the first half against the Ravens, and Baltimore is a good team, but you're wondering, why aren't the Bills waking up here? Why are they sleepwalking through this effort? What's going on with the Bills? And then the Bills finally do wake up and put a number of points on the board, 17 points in the second half, and now it's a 20-20 game. John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson have a good drive going inside the red zone, and it looks to stall out. And so the decision is, do you kick the field goal there with a couple of minutes left on the clock and go up by three and hope to get a stop from your defense? Or do you not trust your defense and go for it on fourth down, knowing that if you don't get it, you don't have the lead anymore? This was John Harbaugh's decision.
He's going to go for it on fourth and goal. Jackson from the gun sends Mike Davis in motion to the left slot. Jackson takes the snap. Pocket collapsing. Jackson under pressure, backpedaling, lobs to the end zone. It is intercepted in the end zone. Jordan Poyer with his second interception of the day, and Buffalo will take possession with 4:09 left to play.
I felt like it gave us the best chance to win the game because seven, the worst that happens is if they go down the field and score, and I think we'll get them stopped, but if they go down the field and score a touchdown, the worst thing that can happen is that you're in overtime. But you kick a field goal there, now it's not a three-down game anymore. It's a four-down game. You're putting them out there. You're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got four downs to convert all the way down the field and a chance to, again, score seven, and then you lose the game.
I didn't understand that rationale at all, and I didn't understand John Harbaugh's explanation of it either, and it didn't sound very well thought out to me. Number one, that was Baltimore Ravens radio on the call. Here's what I think about that. I think John Harbaugh has gotten in his mind, he's been sold by the analytics department, you always go for it. The game is tilted towards the offense now. You have Lamar Jackson. And so keep going for it, keep going for it, because ultimately the odds will be in your favor if you do it enough times. I really think, and because this has now been part of his whole bag of decisions for the last 3 years. They always go for it on fourth down. So clearly, and he cited analytics, multiple times. Clearly, the analytics department, and John Harbaugh is a good coach. He's one of the best coaches of the NFL. He's a smart guy. He has been convinced by data department, you got to keep going for it. And when in doubt, go for it. So I don't think this was a singular decision made on just the situation. I think this is just now where he defaults to. Because when he is explaining this, he doesn't explain it well. He says, I think we'll get the stop. But if they go down the field and score, then we can't lose. Well, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Either you worry that you won't get the stop, or the other side of this. So I don't think he explained it well, and I really don't think in his... I think he's just saying that. He didn't trust his defense there. He did not think they could get a stop from the Bills on the ensuing drive from seven. And he also probably didn't think they could win with just a field goal, because he's basically going, I guarantee they'll get three, and I wonder if they'll get seven. And if now we got to go to overtime, you know, again, I don't think I can beat them. So Harbaugh, A, is defaulting to offense at all times now on fourth downs. B, he did not trust his defense. But here's why I hate all of that. He knows his defense better than me. He's got a data department that's telling him all the odds, etc. Here's why I don't like any of that. You still have to make Buffalo make plays. And if you kick a field goal there, two things happen. Number one, your offense is rewarded for having gone 93 yards on that drive. That drive began at their own 5-yard line, and it took them 9 minutes to get down the field. You want to reward your offense for putting in all of that work, for converting all of those first downs, to give them something to walk away from and say, hey, we earned that. You let them go 9 minutes, 93 yards, and walk away with nothing. So if you do end up in overtime, which is best case scenario for you right there, they have now just been dispirited of, man, we did all that work and we still don't even have anything on the board for it, because the entire second half they were shut out. So I hated it from that emotional intelligence standpoint. Yes, you're saying I believe in you, Lamar Jackson, but if you don't get it, you're also deflating your team. Number two, don't say that if we score seven there, the worst that can happen is overtime. The Bills could go down the field and score and go for a 2-point conversion and you could lose. I mean, don't say that worst thing that can happen to us if we score seven is we go to overtime. That's not true. The worst is you still lose because the Bills have a great offense and a great quarterback and they can score two. The point is, at some point, you need to make the Bills make those plays. And in this case, if you kick the field goal, you then apply some pressure. You know, Harbaugh's going, well, then if we only kick the field goal, I've got to make my defense defend four downs down the field, which I didn't understand that either. It's going to be four down territory no matter what. They're going to be down three or down seven. And so what, they're going to stop going for it on fourth down if they're only down three? You mean they could kick a field goal? Well, yeah, they got to get into field goal range. In that case, it's a wet day, it's a sloppy day, and the first half the Bills' offense was junk, and all of last week the Bills' offense was sloppy. Kick the field goal, give your offense a little bit of boost, and say, hey, defense, you got to get a stop here. And now we've applied some pressure, and it's a wet condition, and now at least we are in control. And I know seven's better than three, but in not getting it there, now the Bills only have to score three, which is exactly what they did. They knew all they had to do was get into field goal range. And they could, and they did. I didn't like that decision. I didn't like the explanation. I like John Harbaugh, but I thought that was a butcher. I thought it was a butcher situation. And, okay, you know, obviously the game had tilted in the Bills' direction. You had squandered a 17-point lead. Your offense wasn't working all half. You were worried that the Bills were kind of coming in your rear view, going to pass by you. But man, just take the points and make the Bills make plays instead of making it easier on them. And that's what happened. And I didn't agree with it there. And I think it was coaching scared. And Marcus Peters clearly was PO'd about it because you're telling your defense, we don't think you can stop them from less than three. Well, we think they're going to right down the field on you. So we got to score seven here because we're screwed. And the play itself, I mean, you know, I like Lamar, but he's basically just chucking it up. You know, it's kind of a wing and a prayer. It's kind of a bit of a wobbly duck in the rain. I mean, is that your best play to win? I didn't like that end by Harbaugh and the Ravens. And the Bills didn't play a great football game, but they come out with a victory. It's like, thank you. Now we just got to kick a field goal. David's next up in Maryland this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call today. I kind of agree with your sentiment there. I think the Ravens should have went for the field goal. That would have been my decision. I thought it was a bad idea personally, but I know a lot of people say, well, no, they had to do it because, you know, because they would have come down there and marched down there and got a touchdown. But here's what I would have done. I would have probably, if I was a coach, and I've never coached, you know, football or nothing like that, but I thought it was a bad decision. I thought they should just took the field goal, go down there. I know what Harbaugh was thinking. You know, when you get into overtime, you wouldn't have an opportunity because Josh Allen would have got a touchdown. But that's not true either because not necessarily unless they scored a touchdown on their first play. I believe that's how it works, but if they would have just got, you know, the Ravens would have still had an opportunity in overtime to win that game. So,
yeah, I mean, if the Bills win the kickoff or win the coin toss, get the kickoff, go right down the field and score a touchdown in overtime, you don't get the football there. But to me, it's the fourth quarter of a football game, and the decision is, do you want the lead? You're at home, fourth quarter, 4 minutes to play, do you want the lead? Yes, I want the lead. I do not want to risk not having the lead here. To me, that was not a luxury the Ravens could take. Take the 3 points and force the Bills to go down the field and either kick a field goal to which you go to OT, or if your defense gives up a touchdown drive, okay, so be it, you lose. So be it, you lose. But at least you gave your team a lead with 4 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. I don't know why you would not take that opportunity. Mraz, where'd you stand on this decision?
I had no issue with the decision. I had issue with the play. I think that his problem is his reasoning after is terrible. The truth is he understands his team and he understands its opponent. And analytics aren't the same team to team. The Bills had just rallied that whole second half. He felt the ball of momentum. And the one inherent flaw this Raven team has as a championship contender is they don't get after the quarterback. Their pass rush is not classic Ravens pass rush. I think Harbaugh knew that. And in that moment, he felt the momentum coming. They had just had all the momentum of coming down the field for 93 yards. I actually think that's rewarding the team by going for it and saying, I trust you to get two more yards and continue this. That I think he knew. If I don't get a touchdown here and I leave them with a chance to kick a field goal, they're either going to score a touchdown or beat me. I know they're getting at least a field goal. And then we lose a coin flip and lose the game anyway. He went for the jugular, went for the win in a scenario where they were running out of time to win the game versus a better team. So I actually didn't have an issue. What can happen there is you need more of a run-pass option with Lamar Jackson, and he can't throw an interception either. But the decision itself, I think, made sense understanding your defense and that offense.
Boy, I would have rather made the Bills make the plays, though, down three. I want to put the pressure on them on a rainy field in my stadium. You've got to go make plays because I got the lead.
I understand that. I do. But this isn't the Ravens a few years ago. This is an offensive Ravens team. This is not a defensive Ravens team. And did we learn nothing from the Chiefs-Bills game when Patrick Mahomes only needed 13 seconds to go down and score? And you just saw what the Bills have done to you. The wet, soggy field, everything. They got off to such a slow start. It was such a big comeback. The Bills had all the momentum. They had figured out what the Ravens were doing. And the Ravens late in that game, they're not going to get a pass rush to get home. They're not going to get to Allen. He's going to pick them apart down the field. Harbaugh knows that. You have an MVP quarterback. He's got to make a play on fourth and two.
That play, the design of it was terrible because it was basically a Bills jailbreak on Lamar Jackson. And he just, if you're going to need two yards and get in the end zone, you got to get Lamar Jackson moving forward.
Yes.
You can't have him dropping back to pass and potentially under duress. And so now he's going to chuck up the duck.
Right. Give me some tight ends close over the middle, you know, 2 yard dump off. Somebody will be open, a quick stick, you know, corner route, something like that.
Or the RPO in right. which Lamar Jackson gets to use his legs and just for
he
2 yards.
He should be moving forward and using his legs.
He's got to be there. When we come back here on the DA show, how about the New York Giants moving to 3-1? What did we learn from that Bears and Giants game? Plus, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Second and six for the 8. Three tight ends, Slayton split right. Play fake, Jones is going to bootleg and roll left. He's going to run it again. Jones to the 5, Jones dives in, touchdown Giants.
That is some special stuff.
Tough game, physical game. What we thought it would be, and I thought those Chicago played physical. I thought our guys played physical, made a few more plays than they did.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. 25 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us on this fine Monday morning, man. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us on the free Odyssey app. You also get podcasts of the show inside that app as well. You can also stream us using the CBS Sports app, also free. Monday Night Football Preview, sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Rams visiting Jimmy G and the Niners. San Francisco a slight 1.5-point favorite, hosting the defending Super Bowl champs as they seek to get back to 500. That's the final pick of the Wizard of Odds for this week. And I got the Niners tonight, minus the 1.5, so once that is wrapped up, tomorrow we'll break down the bets.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
From the weekend that was, Gelb's gambles, Mraz's up the gut picks, and the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I went 2-0. Gelb going for 3-0 tonight. He's head up with you.
Oh, he's got the Rams.
He's got the Rams. If he does that, he will go 3-0 and tie me. If he loses, I still remain a game up.
You're 2-0 or 2-1?
2-1. I finished 2-1. Jag screwed me, blowing a 14-0 lead.
Okay. Yesterday at the Meadowlands, you heard Bob Papa on Giants Radio. They get the 20-12 win over the Bears. And the Giants are 3-1, and I don't think anybody's going to confuse them with one of the best teams in the NFL. They might be 3-1, but they're not like the Bills 3-1. But what I think it's so obvious is that the Giants, despite this being a really bad Bears team, the Giants, for the first time in a long time, have a very cogent direction. You can see a different life. You can see a different plan of attack. You can see a different focus now that you have non-idiots leading the franchise. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll
are basically not morons. They're actually somewhat smart. And it is such a departure from the Joe Judge, a glorified gym teacher, Pat Shermer, who was a glorified, you know, replacement teacher, and Ben McAdoo, who was like a used car salesman. None of those guys commanded respect. None of those guys proved to have a clear-cut focus or direction. And granted, there was the Dave Gettleman aspect in this as well, but you can just tell the Giants have a plan. There was a drive in this game where, a couple of drives, where clearly Brian Daboll realized our best chance of winning is just to make sure Daniel Jones is out in space. Let's run QB waggles. Let's run fake pitches. Let's get him out on bootlegs. And let's just let him run the football when needed. And if he's not, there's going to be a tight end of the flat that he can dump off to. The Giants do not have good weapons besides Saquon. The Giants have no tight end situation. The wide receiver situation of the Sterling Shepard is down is a disgrace. David Sills is still getting snaps. I mean, it's crazy. But what they're saying is, let's just use the parts that we have that do work, and we'll use them the way that they need to be used. It won't be pretty. It won't be aesthetically pleasing, but it's the best chance for it to work. We're not trying to look smart here. We're not trying to have an ego here. We're just trying to find the things that work well. Now, they've got to benefit from a muffed punt by the Bears. They got to benefit from Bears sloppiness, but they do it, and I think that's why they're 3-1, is that they're building a reputation of, we won't beat ourselves, and we'll do the few things that maybe we do well, and we'll just try to keep doing them. And those are very basic tenets, but some coaches are too stupid to get it or are too arrogant to do them. McAdoo was the height of arrogance. You know, we're going to throw the ball. We're going to do this. The offense is going to look like this. I mean, you know, he thought he was going to bring Aaron Rodgers' Packers offense to the Giants. Sorry, not happening.
I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
He thought he was the beacon of hope. Okay? Imagine being a person that called himself the beacon of light.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
And Pat Shermer, again, I mean, just the substitute teacher that everybody just throws spitballs at, picks boogers and throws them at him. I mean, Pat Shermer had no respect inside that office. None. And then Joe Judge is just a big doofus. He is just, you see him on the sideline with the Patriots, you're like, that is just one big doofus there. Now, Daboll needs to get his weight in check because he's inflating.
I don't think he's getting any fatter.
I think he is. He looks big. He looks real big. Like his ticker's, he's taking on some stress there. But there's at least a direction. So the Giants are not a great 3-1. But they're just moving forward. And I thought about Bob the Deli Man Mraz because you have often echoed this over the last 10 years that we've worked together. Bob's not so mad if the Giants lose. But after he grinds out six-day work weeks, after he's grinded out a career in the food service industry, cutting boar's head, trying to make the deli at the food town in Brooklyn the best damn food town there is, the best damn deli counter, all he asks for is for 3 hours on Sunday, an honest effort. That's all he asks for. And I think for years you've seen disgraceful Giants efforts, and now he's finally getting an honest effort on Sunday afternoon.
He is, and he loves it. Matter of fact, the tables have turned. He had to tell me to calm down yesterday with negativity. Thought I was being too negative. So he just loves it. He loves sitting there watching these Daboll Giants. He don't care if they run for 800 yards a game. Doesn't care if he sees a single pass. Let's just win football games and try hard. And he's getting it, and he loves it. Can't get enough of it.
To Saquon Barkley's credit, he's looked fantastic this year.
Leading the NFL in rushing.
He's been injury prone. He's been a bust of a draft pick. He was the wrong pick for them at the wrong time. But this year, he has turned on the Jets, and he's looked fantastic. And the touchdown that he scored yesterday, bouncing off of defenders in the backfield, making something out of completely nothing.
Unbelievable.
Those are the moments that you're like, well, that's why you draft a guy number 2 overall.
Yeah,
even though the Giants should not have.
No,
that's the type of talent.
Right, and the things he struggled with were pass protection on third downs, getting 4 or 5 yards, 4-minute offense. He's doing all of those things perfect this year, and I early whispers MVP candidate.
I would take Bradley.
Well, let's not go there because the Giants are not going to have a record that validates him being the MVP.
Oh, you want to bet?
You're doing so well.
No.
You're doing so well. You attack last sentence.
I don't even like Barkley, but guys, they're going to win at least 10 games here.
At least.
Look at the schedule. Before you guys mock me, look at the schedule. Look at the schedule and tell me how they don't get to 10 now that they have three.
Let's even say they're 10-7. They're not going to make Saquon Barkley the MVP on a 10-7 Giants
team. I said MVP consideration. They'll still give it to a quarterback. If Saquon Barkley leads the league in rushing far and away above everybody else, and this Giant team makes the playoffs, wins 10 games, how does he not get considered for the MVP?
Okay, this is the complete opposite now of his Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani argument.
No, because the Giants would have to be in the playoffs.
Ohtani could not have been the MVP on a non-playoff team.
I'm telling you, 10 wins in the playoffs. If he led the league in rushing, the Giants put 5 games, he doesn't deserve the MVP. So you're a doofus face. You're not even listening to the argument.
No, I'm listening. And there's just not a scenario where Saquon Barkley is in under MVP consideration. I just can't see that happening.
There's also plenty of losable games on this schedule for the Giants. They play the Packers coming up in London. They've got the Cowboys again. They've got two against the Eagles. They've got the Ravens, and they've got the Jaguars. Those are all losable games.
They're not going to lose to the Jags, but sure, they're all losable.
The Jags went to L.A. and pounded the Chargers.
The Jags lost to the Commanders this year.
Okay, that was week one.
D.A., every Giant game is losable. Not in the, anybody can lose fashion. They're still the Giants.
Jags, Lions, Seahawks, Commanders twice. That's already 5 wins. Lions, 6 more wins. Texans, 7 wins. They already have 3. There's your 10. And that doesn't even count in the Colts and Vikings.
But again,
that doesn't even go win 12 games now.
Why do you do this?
Because it's all based on the schedule.
Because the Giants can lose to the Vikings. The Giants can lose
to the
Jaguars.
They can.
The Giants can lose to the Colts. The Giants can lose to the Cowboys.
No doubt.
You're chalking those up as they're going to win 12 games.
No, I said they could. They're at a bare floor now, I think the Giant expectation now is you have to win 10 looking at the schedule.
You have to.
I've totally flipped on it. You have to.
So now Dable and Shane are going to get fired next year because they didn't get to 10
timeout.
Wins?
I don't think they will win 12. What I'm telling you is if you look at it, they could.
No, they can't. Because they're not 12-5. I mean, their wins so far this season are against bad football teams. The Titans, the Panthers, the Bears.
Titans look bad right now?
Week one and week two, they looked awful.
Well, so now the Giants don't get credit for part of the reason they looked awful week one, when now we see that they're probably a good football team. The chicken or the egg. Did they look awful the last 2 weeks? No. So didn't the Giants contribute to them looking awful?
The Giants also played like absolute garbage in the first half against the Titans.
And that was what changed the season and changed the direction of Brian Daboll's Giants.
Until they lost to the Cowboys.
They came back down from 13-0. Different scenario. Didn't have Leonard Williams. Was different. 13-0 come down. It was unbelievable. I'm not trying to get a high horse. They're not going to go win a Super Bowl or anything like that. But Brian Daboll's changed things here. And the Giants are no longer the team that bad teams know they will beat. They are now the team that looks at the bad teams, like I'm pointing that schedule, and say, those are games we are going to win.
Well, I think there's a difference of those are games we are going to win, and those are games we can win. And I'm not going to make a bet with you about whether the Giants win 11 or 12 games, because I don't want to root against the Giants, but they're not winning 11 or 12 games.
I'm going to state this so everybody hears this clearly. I don't think they are winning 11 or 12 games. I think they could. But as they
say, you said minimum 10. So
minimum was a stupid word to use. They will win 10 games. I think they will finish at 10-7. They will. And I think now we've crossed the point at 3-1 when you actually look at their schedule and say it's kind of a disappointment now going forward if they don't.
Okay. Either way, I thought about Bob the Deli Man, and my only concern is that here's a 3-1 Giants team that actually can beat bad teams. And Bob believes that Daniel Jones is Phil Simms reincarnate and Kayvon Thibodeau is LT reincarnate.
Wearing those uniforms yesterday, too.
Wearing those uniforms, which, by the way, were so nice.
I know.
That really is their best uniform. And in 2000, when they went to the old school NY, I thought it was a great look. 22 years later, that's still their best look. They looked so good yesterday. But I just felt like, boy, this is already a good story, but Bob thinks this is the 86 Giants all over again.
He's in. Dable's Parcells. And he loves Mike Kafka running the offense. I mean, this is something else. Bob basically wanted to fly the plane to London. He's all in for this week.
Poor guy.
You should have heard him as Bailey Zappi's marching all over the field on the Packers. See, why can't we do it with Davis Webb this week? Because Giants might have to play Davis Webb this week now. It's another thing.
That's true. You just gave them 10 wins, and you have no idea the hell says their top two quarterbacks.
Well, and it looks like they're re-signing Landon Collins today. They're a little rekindering the
old.
To
play quarterback?
Let's go.
Because Daniel Jones got, is it an ankle injury?
Yeah, yeah. Shocking. He got hurt again. And Tyrod Taylor, rather than play safe football, decides to go head first when they have no other quarterback. And Saquon basically finished the game as the quarterback.
And so now Davis Mills may get the start in London.
No, Davis Webb. Davis Mills will be helped.
Oh, wait,
Davis.
Did I say Davis Mills?
No, just D.A.
Yeah.
Davis Webb might get the start in London, who, by the way, Mraz proclaimed as the solution for the next 12 to 15 years for the Giants at quarterback.
That's your Mike Lennon.
Imagine this week we find out I was right. Like, he takes off, and you're like, wow, where did Davis Webb come from? And he's the long-term answer? Oh, I'll dance on everybody's grave on Twitter.
He's been gone and come back, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where did he go?
Buffalo with Dable. And he re-inhabited him.
And now he's re-inhabited him.
Thank you.
He re-inhabited.
He's now when
he
made him back good, inside.
Rehabilitated him.
He rehabilitated. Davis Webb was given the quarterback's coach job in Buffalo, and he turned it down to play with Dable here with the Giants. This is his shot.
I love it.
So he's going to go to London, outsling, outgun Aaron Rodgers, a 24 of 32 effort for 326 and three touchdowns, and Davis Webb suddenly is the new starting quarterback for the Giants until further notice, and they go 12-5.
Well, we've seen Cooper Rush win these games in Dallas. Why not? The guy had the goods for me to examine him and call him, the decade solver.
Didn't you just say that your dad was like, why are you being so negative? Now you're predicting Davis Webb is going to lead them to 12 wins and be the next solution of the Giants.
Look, I still wouldn't give the job away from Daniel Jones, but Webb's got a chance here if he plays.
Seriously, what was
you
negative?
You see what Bailey Zappi just did to the Packers?
Wait, did your dad think they could be 14-3 and he was bad? You only gave him 11 wins? What were you being negative about?
My dad's already thinking about Philly in the bye. He is. I'm at least giving you two losses to the Eagles. He's got the bye in his eyes.
I can't take this anymore. This is ridiculous.
What does your dad think they're going to do?
Win the NFC?
He kind of thinks they could win out. He thinks based on the
what?
Packers' performance
they
yesterday.
They could win out. They could win out. Bob the Deli Man thinks the Giants are going 16-1.
I mean, he didn't say guaranteed, but he also thinks Wink Martindale knows the Ravens well. They could beat them in 2 weeks. The Packers can't stop Bailey Zappi. Then next thing you know, you're playing Houston, Seattle. He thinks you're at Thanksgiving with one loss, and the whole country's watching the Giants.
I can't. Not today. I can't do this. I can't do this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Bob the Deli Man is talking about a 16-1 Giants team.
And that 12-5 was negative.
He did also tell
Debbie Downer, Sean. Come on, Sean.
I caught him telling two cowboy friends of mine. They got into a big argument at my daughter's birthday Saturday that, and I quote, you watch, Kenny Golladay can still be a top 10 receiver in this league. Which I had to pump the brakes on my dad to take away the Heineken lights. But
Bob is thinking bye. He's looking at the Eagles and the bye.
There's only one bye.
There's only
Don't
one.
Don't forget. That he's looking number at number one in the NFC.
He wants one seed in the NFC at 3-1 and sloppily getting by the Bears yesterday.
Quote, we beat Jalen Hurts last year with a worse team. He's not wrong.
Oh, no.
Poor Paul DeTino.
Oh, no.
Why don't you and your dad just host this podcast?
Actually, yes. Bob the Deli Man should be your regular guest on Up the Leap, whatever that's called.
Oh, it's one giant step that after a loss becomes one giant turd.
One giant WTF.
Well, oh boy, this is getting good. This is really getting good. Bogue says headlines.
Jilted by Giselle, jilted by Antonio Brown, then jilted by the Chiefs. Tom Brady and his Buccaneers took a 41-31 thumping at home on Sunday Night Football.
Tough game, tough team. You know, they're a good team, but, you know, we got to play a lot better if we want to be good teams. So it hasn't been our best yet. This year, it'd be be good to see what it looks like when we do play our best.
Brady threw for three scores, including one to Mike Evans, who was back from his suspension, but they could never catch the Chiefs, who scored touchdowns on four of their first five possessions. Patrick Mahomes also threw for three scores again in this 41-31 final. Wisconsin football fired Paul Christ yesterday, and Colorado dumped Carl Durrell after an 0-5 start. Saturday's 23-point loss to Arizona, their smallest margin of defeat this season. The Atlanta Braves beat an unnamed victim three times this weekend, 5-3 last night. They are now one win away from the NL East title. So glad manager Brian Snitker enjoyed the sweep.
This is about as exciting and emotional and series, I think, as I've ever been a part of. Even all the playoff series and everything, this was something else.
His Braves were 10.5 games out of first on June 1st. Aaron Judge, another homerless game, now 1-for-7, 6 Ks since hitting number 61. His Yankees losing to the Orioles 3-1. And if you've caught 36ers fever after their win over the Suns in Phoenix last night, they're back in Adelaide next Thursday to face the Tasmania Jack Jumpers.
Wow.
And now, let's get stunned.
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now, some of us were all smiles this weekend, enjoying a leisurely fishing trip on a crisp fall morning. Mm-hmm. Others competing for prizes and titles like Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon. The duo won the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Championship on Friday.
Oh.
But when their catch was cut open, weights were found inside the
fish. Oh, boy.
Obviously, those weights up the poundage had them atop the leaderboard and maybe explains why they were also leading the season standings. Kaminsky and Runyon immediately disqualified. Organizers immediately apologetic that their event was the scene of such embarrassment for sport fishing. This, however, not the first time Kaminsky and Runyon have been in trouble. They were DQ'd from event last fall because one of them failed a polygraph test, which I guess is used often to make sure they're competing correctly since it's honor system. Like, you're on the boat by yourself and you bring back the fish and say, here's what I caught. So they give these dudes polygraph tests to make sure that it's on the up and up, and one of them failed it. So these two jokers, get them out.
That's truly pathetic, but it has always made you wonder how much cheating does get involved into fishing tournaments.
Right.
Now, I don't exactly know how this works. I think you're supposed to have a scale. Like, there might be a guy in some of these bass fishing tournaments that comes around with the scale, and then he measures them.
I've seen the fancy ones that are on set, like the real high-end pro one, and they all have cameras on the boats now, and they have a little hook scale that they show, and then they put it in the thing, and that's it. So you're watching the whole time that they're not doing anything to the fish.
But for a little one in Sharon, PA,
look out,
a little lake walleye tournament, the two brothers shoving weights down in the middle of walleyes.
It's like, and what was the major league player years ago where the Super Bowls flew out of the bat when the bat broke? They corked the bat.
Yeah.
You can't be corking the fish.
Wasn't that Sosa?
He had cork in the bat.
He had cork, okay. But
I think it was nettles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to check.
And getting caught, like, the people that got him, the director of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail event, Jason Fisher, is taking a victory lap. I'm disgusted, guys and gals. But I'm glad I caught cheating taking place in your loot at the same time, because LEWT is Lake Erie Walleye Trail.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's like, I built this loot. He said, I will defend its integrity at all costs. You people deserve the best. So here goes the walleye director taking his bows. I promise to defend you and the walleye. Yeah,
you need me on this wall.
Oh, man. I went out fishing with my dad on Friday, and I posted some pictures on Instagram. We went out and caught a couple of pickerel, and we had a really good day, but my dad was on fire. He was cracking me up. At some point this week, I got my dad going in on the local grocery store.
Oh, no.
Quote, I think it's being mismanaged. I was dying. I was just dying. So this is too good.
From a man who doesn't know what day it is.
This is too good.
This is a hardware store, sir. We don't have dairy here.
Got to tell you. I don't know. Not for nothing, but I think it's being mismanaged. I'm looking for the organic rice. It's not where the rice is supposed to be. Sometimes it's over here, sometimes it's over there. Be honest, I don't know who's got what over there, but I think it's being mismanaged.
It's Aaron Boone's running the supermarket. This Home Depot is the worst produce.
When we come back here on the DA Show, what has happened to Oklahoma? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Flicks on the edge, looks down the middle of the field, got Gunnar Henderson. It's caught. 30, 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, outside of the 5. Touchdown, Gunnar! Hit the horn. 62-yard straight. Minute 34 to play in the hand. Frogs go up 40-17 on Oklahoma.
We're not very good, obviously, right now. I mean, we got a lot to get better at, a lot to improve. And our guys have been committed. They've worked incredibly hard. Thought they competed hard the whole day. You know, we got to give them answers, and we've got to help get them better quickly. You know, things don't get any easier for us.
Woof. Welcome back. That call courtesy of Learfield Sports. That was Brent Venables after an ass-kicking by TCU. We appreciate you being with us on this fine Monday morning. You can watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile-friendly. Also on Twitch and on YouTube. OU was never in this game, and Oklahoma was a six-point favorite going into the game at Fort Worth. I had taken OU. Wizard of Odds waved his wand, told me that the Sooners were the play, and I believed him because OU's got a ton of talent. We know this. And OU had just been kicked in the teeth by Kansas State. And OU has had a history of when they have overlooked a Big 12 opponent and played poorly, will bounce back, snap back, and respond the next week. I was sure that that was going to happen this time around. It did not. This was even uglier. And this is bad because now it proved that Brent Venables couldn't get the team to wake up. Now, OU was the favorite in the Big 12 to once again make a college football playoff. They are completely out of it now. They'll never make a college football playoff. You now defer to other schools like Baylor and Oklahoma State and even Kansas as the power brokers of the Big 12, not OU. And that's a harsh reality. So how did this happen? We'll talk about that coming up next and also discuss the Packers and the Bucks from last night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.